Donald, tell me, who was your favorite singer back in late 60s, early 70s?
Back then, Billie Holiday was my best singer back then. She could really sing. I mean, she could, if you could say, tear the roof off. And she sang with so much sensitivity, and a blues singer really just put it out of me. And when she was singing back then, there's a lot of things going on, and she really made people relax, feel real good about herself. And, you know, even though she had her own problems and stuff, but that we had read about and stuff, but Billie Holiday, I mean, she just tell it like it was and hit you where it hurts the most.
What was the most popular movies? Who was the most popular movie stars during that time span?
In that time span, the most popular movie stars for black people back then was Sidney Poitier, Arthur Davis, and River Dee. But Sidney Poitier was the only one I really identified with back then. I mean, let's look at it. Black movie star. Now think, how many black movie star was it back then?
Can you remember some of the movies Sidney played in?
He played in For the Queer Smith. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? I mean, back then, you know, when a black man comes with a white woman to dinner, if he was real alive back then like that, he wouldn't have been alive. That was just a picture there. That was something to just give you the idea of what could happen. But if that would have happened back then, with a black man going to dinner with a white woman, he wouldn't have made it through the front door. So that was one other picture that he played. And some more picture that he played in was the one with Bill Cosby. That was an up-to-date one, but Sidney Poitier was the only person I identified with back then for the film.
What was the black clubs like?
Oh, now you're talking. Well, the black clubs were like a one-room chat, you know, but hey, when we get in there, we go in that dance, party, eat food, chicken, giving it, whatever. Tom Green's, I mean, a black club, yeah, they go to the club now, they just don't eat. Back then, those type of clubs, you know, you go in there dance, having a good time. Afro swinging, I mean, fried, we had fried, lame, and dyed hair. So, you know, we party up the storm. And the interesting thing about back then is those types of clubs, you know, it's just a black owner. And you go in there, party and stuff, have a good time all through the night. I mean, we just really dance, doing the chicken wing, the chicken, all that type of stuff. So, you know, it's just a good time, good old time, no fights. If there was a fight, probably from our fighting over a chicken wing or something. Food, that's the main thing. Black man got to eat. And, you know, we just party. And the women back then, oh, sisters, they take care of you. They feed you. You want a good woman, get one that can cook. Get one that can't cook, so you're going to be poor. You don't have no butt. Get one that can cook, feed you good. Don't matter what she look like. She can look like the back of a dump truck. If she can cook, hey, you better get her. Get a good looking one. Nine times out of ten, she can't cook. So, okay. Hey, the club, like I said, they have just outstanding time. And the music was live. What I mean by live is we had all sorts of band coming in there just playing music. I mean, just bumping. cannot sing real good. And we had those types of, if we didn't have a live band, we had the, you know, the spin record, you spin it, and just go. And it was fun, it was fun. And like I said, like some clubs you go to, you go in some of those clubs. We went in one club, in particular, went in one club, my first time going in it. I mean, it had a roof and stuff. It was like a square building. And went in to have a pole, you know, dance floor up there, you know. But the dance floor was dope. You know, when you dance, guess what happens? Everybody jamming. The guys are playing music, jamming. Dust everywhere. Dust and white light. I mean, when you come out, you want something white, you're coming out red. So, hey, that did, we had a ball. We knew where everybody went. We knew where the party was. And you can smell food about a mile away by the time you get there. So, just all you know, you'll get there.
I'm not laughing at you, but it seemed like you had a lot of fun back then with the club scene. You, excuse me, you always connect the club and food together, so you really had a lot to eat at the club. I mean, it's different from today when you barely eat, so you just go in and look nice.
Yeah, it's very different from today. Today, you have to pay for your food. Back then, you just go in, hey, food's always spread out on the table. Only thing you do is you eat, feed your gut. Or, as they said, trying to fill up. And there you go in the club these days, you know, I only been once or two when I just want to look at something real nice every now and then. You go in the club these days, you got to pay. Back then, you didn't have to pay. I mean, you know, people cared about one another. They had food and stuff so you can have a good time. So, yes, I would say the clubs are totally different. Back then, you could go out, party, have a good time. Don't have to worry about food and that. Because food is there. These days, if you want something to eat, the club ain't got it. You got to go out to the store or something to get it. But back then, hey, like I said, you don't have to worry about how you look. Back then, just go in the club, have a good time. And you go in looking nice, 9 times 10, most women don't want to dance with you, but they'll settle with somebody with you. Up shot on the head every now and then. Light prayers and died back, whatever. But back then, it was very entertaining. I mean, you had a good time. They had girls back then, too. So, you know, we had a good time.
So the clubs were real strong back then. They were strong.
Oh, the clubs back then real strong. I mean, you know, only bad moment we have is when the law come in. You know, they come in looking around in and like they own it. I mean, it get real quiet. You know, they not see if we selling bootlegging and anything like that. You see what the owner's bootlegging. You know what the bootlegging means.
Selling without license.
Right, selling without license and stuff like that. You know, so they come in. The law used to come in. You know, like I said, they white. And when that happens, you know, they come in, they get a drink, give me a drink, you know, like that, you know. And of course, the owner's going to give it to them, or boss going to give it to them because they don't want no trouble with the law, you know, because they can shut them down or else, you know, like most of them, you know, probably was in that little group called it KKK or something, you know, but you never know, you know, who's on the sheet. So they could have came back and burnt them down. No yasa and stuff like that. So like I was saying, the clubs back then, they were good clubs and stuff, and everybody knew everybody, and you know, that's where it went back then.
That seemed like it was fun. I wish I could have been living back then.
Well, you probably would, I could tell you probably would have had every man you wanted.
Okay, the National Convention of the Congress of Radical Equality, which is meaning poor, voted to adopt a resolution endorsing the concept of black power. The National Director, Floyd McKissick, said the only way to achieve meaningful change is to take power. What were your views on that?
Well, my views on that is that the point that he's making when you said take power. First, you got to understand the concept of power. Power, to me, is the knowledge. You have the knowledge, you have the power. So if you have the knowledge, the power is there, so therefore you can take. Now, let me break this down for you a little bit more there. Let me give you a point of view of what I mean by knowledge. Knowledge means to get educated, you know. Go to school, get all the knowledge that you can get. Knowledge of a black man is very powerful because we've been held down for so long, and that, see, a white man fear a powerful black man, not a powerful black man that got muscle on, a powerful black man that got a brain. You follow me there?
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I was saying, his point was well taken. See, a lot of people took that the wrong way because they didn't understand what he meant by that. But if you're an educated black man, you understand what he meant by that. When he said we have to take the power, what he was really saying was that in order to take the power, you have to gain the knowledge in order to take the power, so you have to be educated in order to have the power. So the more knowledge you have in your brain, the powerful you are. So, in every sense of the word, he was right. You have to take the power. But the way how he said it in that context was that, you know, it was strong. It came out real strong, like fighting words. You know, like a war. Start a war, take power. But that is what he really meant. He meant it in knowledge sense.
So people took it the wrong way, and they were, how did they react?
Oh yeah, people took it the wrong way. You know, like a lot of them probably want to, you know, just go out and take stuff, you know, power, you know, like just going out taking stuff, think you got power. Excuse me. If you're not powerful in that aspect, like I was saying, knowledgeable enough to understand how to take power, those people that who went out there and did that, but that they didn't understand what the man was really saying. Because if a person is uneducated, and the only thing he understands was the word take. You follow me there?
Uh-huh.
If he take, that means like you go out and take it. You know, like you ain't, it don't mean your power, you just going out there just taking stuff without using the power of knowledge in order to get it the way you're supposed to get it. So, people just took it the wrong way. Because a lot of white people took it the wrong way. They just say, there's a nigga up here starting a war. Because the most dangerous thing to a white person is that a mean, unconscious black man. Which is true to this day. Because, like I was saying, if a black man walked down the street and you got a couple white people that are looking, they're going to assume the worst of it without even knowing the person. So therefore, like I said, if you have the power of knowledge and the way how to use it, you can accomplish a lot. But like he said, in order to get what you want, you have to first get yourself educated. Get educated, then knowledge will come to you. So that is my views on that subject there.
How did you fit in on that? Did you take it the right way back then, or did you do what others did? Did you participate? That's what I'm trying to ask.
Yes, I participated, but like I was saying, you know, it was seven of us, so, you know, being in the middle part of that group, you know, it was kind of hard because my oldest brother, he took it away. I just explained to you and take it, you know, go fight and take it, you know. But I realized what the man was saying, and to my knowledge, you know, like the people back then, you know, like I didn't go out there and just taking stuff, you know. I thought really understand what he meant, and when I did get back in school and stuff, I started reading, learning, gaining. And the more I read, the more powerful I felt. And you know, as I read his stuff, I, Then, you know, when white people do come to my family or something, say something to them, and they can't understand, I can break it down to them, you know. And whatever word they may use to them, I remember the meaning of the word, so I just tell them what it meant. But, you know, like I was saying, powerful. To be powerful, you have to have the knowledge. And, you know, that's how I took it back then.